We give da'wah to everyone, even if it only benefits the few. This seems to be the theme of Surah Yasin. Surah Yasin begins by talking about what? Describing the Prophet ﷺ as equipped for da'wah. He's got everything he needs. Allah Ta'ala says, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ يَاسِينَ وَالْقُرْآنِ الْحَكِيمِ إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ تَنْزِيلَ الْعَزِيزِ الرَّحِيمِ. That the Prophet ﷺ has this wise book. This book has wisdom in it. Furthermore, it's not just the theory, it's the practice. He is on a straight path. And this is coming from who? Allah, who is authoritative, and Allah is merciful. This is going to benefit you. It's going to be a mercy to you. And it is an authority over you. And subhanAllah, after this brief introduction, Allah then says what? لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Already the word has come into effect. Upon most of them, they won't believe. Most people won't believe. Imagine this, you're being told, listen, you're ready for a job, I'm going to give you all the right equipment, all right, go for that job. Just so you know, it's probably going to fail. You're like, wait, what? Why am I going to do this job if the vast majority of people will reject it? In fact, Allah Ta'ala then says, very soon after, what? وَسَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. It's all the same whether you warn them or don't warn them. They're not going to believe. SubhanAllah. Seems quite odd that the surah would begin in this way. But pay close attention. لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ. It's most people that will reject. That means the Prophet ﷺ is being given all the tools for da'wah. This Qur'an, which is, you could say, the words in theory. And then the sunnah, which is his practice. So you have both, Qur'an and sunnah. The theory and the practice, together, the best combination. And with that, most people will reject. But then the question is, why do I do it? And then Allah Ta'ala clarifies, إِنَّمَا تُنذِرُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الذِّكْرَ وَخَشْيَ الرَّحْمَنَ بِالْغَيْبِ فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. Look how Allah uses the singular. Why do you do this? To warn the one who. In other words, not الَّذِينَ, يعني men. The one who follows the message. He follows the reminder. And he fears Ar-Rahman, the abundantly merciful. He has awe and reverence and fear of Ar-Rahman bil-ghayb, in secret. In other words, the Prophet ﷺ could be standing in front of the masses and they could be rolling their eyes, leaving, passing him, mocking him, insulting him, even throwing things. And there's one person in the back sitting, listening, bil-ghayb, in silence, saying, this guy's making a lot of sense. Maybe he goes home, makes dua, and the Prophet ﷺ doesn't even know about it. This person is hidden, but that iman is growing. فَبَشِّرْهُ. So give him, not them, not plural, singular. Give that person the glad tidings of what? Forgiveness and a noble reward. So after this introduction portion of Ayat 1 to 12, Surah Yasin continues and teaches us a history lesson. A unique instance in which three messengers come to one single town. Normally, we expect one messenger like Nuh alayhi salam. Maybe two like Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam. Or maybe like Isa alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam. But three messengers to one town? This is remarkable. You're going to expect that they're going to have three times the impact. They're going to change the whole town is going to be completely transformed. This is what we're expecting. And normally we're going to want to know everything about them. Let's know about their names, their stories, their miracles, their arguments, their geographic location, their physical description. I want to know. Allah Ta'ala doesn't give us any of these details. We learn instead that they call the people to the truth and they get rejected immediately. These people say, no, we don't like this. So what is their response? قَالُوا رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. They said, Allah knows, our Lord, our Master knows that we are messengers. You guys don't accept us, you guys just reject us, no problem. Allah knows the truth. Allah knows that we're messengers and we're not responsible except for what? Clear notification. Go ahead, reject us all. We're going to keep doing what we do. We're going to keep on conveying the message. Then Allah Ta'ala tells us that they convinced how many people? 100? 1,000? 5? 10? 3? 1? Just one. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. There came from the farthest end of the city a man running. He said, oh my people, follow the messengers. One person they convinced. What was the theme in the beginning portion? Call to the masses, maybe you're going to have a small effect on maybe one person. Allah Ta'ala then goes back in history and says, three messengers came. They called to the masses. One guy responded. Who is this guy? Well, Allah says, رجلٌ, a guy, a man. No information about him. This is very deliberate, by the way. And you'll see why. And where is he from? من أقصى المدينة, the farthest part of the city. So, simply put, he's Mr. Nobody from nowhere. He's Mr. Nobody from nowhere. And this is very deliberate and intent, you know, this is very specific. Why? And furthermore, yas'a, he came running, meaning what? He didn't even have an animal to ride on, so he wasn't very wealthy. But instead of walking, he came running, showing enthusiasm. Why is this mentioned in this particular way? Maybe somebody here, maybe all of you, maybe many of you, you feel like I'm Mr. Nobody, I'm from nowhere, I'm not important at all. Well, this message is for you. You still have a voice. Because Allah Ta'ala could have zoomed the camera in to the three messengers. Allah Ta'ala could have highlighted what they said, their miracles, what they did, their background stories. Allah Ta'ala could have done that. Yet, the camera seems to be entirely zoomed in on this Mr. Nobody, nameless person from nowhere, in Aqsa al-Madinah, somewhere out there in the boonies, as they say. We don't know who he is. Allah Ta'ala gives 7 ayat or 8 ayat describing this individual, zooming in on his life, showing how important he is. So never belittle. You never know. Maybe I'm here on the minbar giving a talk, but Allah Ta'ala is zooming in on one of you because you're the special one today. Maybe you've done something that's truly incredible because you're willing to convey this message of Islam. And so, this section is again highlighting this point that we need to call to the masses. Why? Because it might only have an effect on the few, but that's important. So never let somebody tell you, and never let this idea from shaitan creep into your head, da'wah is only for the specialist. I leave that stuff for the shaykh. I can't call to Islam, because that's for the pros, that's for the imam, that's for the alim, that's not for me. SubhanAllah, there were three messengers. And yet, Allah Ta'ala highlights what this man said, and this man's da'wah, and this man's words. Shouldn't, if he had our attitude, he would have said what? No, three messengers is enough. I don't have to add my voice. I'm just going to get in their way. No, I'll leave that to the specialist. Allah Ta'ala highlights this one, showing that even though he was not the specialist, he wasn't like the three messengers, he still had a voice, and that is of the utmost importance. Furthermore, sometimes shaitan comes to us and says, no, I don't want to give da'wah because people won't listen to me. That's not what this story teaches. He called his people, and he called, Allah Ta'ala quotes the ayat where he says, follow the messengers, only worship Allah Ta'ala. If I were to worship other deities, I'd be lost. This is wrong. They're not asking you for any money. They're giving you the best example. Follow them. They're giving you the best arguments. He's giving da'wah in the most beautiful way. Then Allah says what? قِيلَ دُخُلِ الْجَنَّةَ. It was said to him, enter paradise. Why? They attacked him. They attacked him and they killed him. So he entered paradise immediately because he was shaheed. He died as a martyr. قال يا ليت قومي يعلمون بما غفر لي ربي وجعلني من المكرمين. And he says, in paradise, he's saying what? I wish my people could know how my Lord has forgiven me and placed me amongst the honored. He's still thinking about his people. SubhanAllah. Did they show him mercy? They showed him no mercy. Allah says, I forgave him. I showed him mercy. They showed him no honor. They disrespected him. Allah says, I showed him honor. They punished him. Allah says, I rewarded him. They wanted nothing but harm for him. What does he say? I want nothing but good for them. I wish they could know how amazing paradise is. Teaching us so much about what it takes to be a da'i. The important attitude that you need to have towards your people. A genuine concern. Even if they are ignorant and misguided, you still want the best for them. And then in the very next section of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala switches the subject to his signs. But subhanAllah, you'll see how each of these signs, they go back to the main theme. It's truly remarkable. Allah Ta'ala says, وَآيَةٌ, and a sign for these people. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ الْأَرْضُ الْمَيْتَةُ أَحْيَيْنَاهَا وَأَخْرَجْنَا مِنْهَا حَبًّا فَمِنْهُ يَأْكُلُونَ وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا جَنَّاتٍ مِنْ نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ وَفَجَّرْنَا فِيهَا مِنَ الْعُيُونَ. And a sign for them is the dead earth. We have brought it to life and brought forth from it grain, and from it they eat, and we place therein gardens and palm trees and grapevines, and caused to burst forth therefrom some springs. What is this saying? Of course, this is reminding us of the ayat of Allah. The earth is dead, it comes back to life, we are going to die, we're going to be revived. This is the most straightforward interpretation. But there's a deeper layer as well. What is the main theme? Give da'wah to the masses, they'll reject you, but you will have an effect on the few. Allah Ta'ala is saying, look at all these beautiful lush gardens. Don't you realize they came from a small seed, a small grain? Don't you realize that they come from something so tiny? Should you belittle something small? I did this big event and only one person showed up. I called to 100 people, only one person responded. Do you have any idea that one person could be like the seed? And within the seed, we know, It has the information for the whole tree and all of the fruits and all of the benefit. It's all right there in the genetics, right there in the seed. And yet we neglect that seed and we overlook that seed. We think it's something small. It's not small at all. It's huge. It's remarkable. Don't belittle something small. So this theme, while Allah Ta'ala is pointing to his ayat, he's further emphasizing this exact same point. Call to the masses. You might only have an effect on a few people, but those people could be like a seed that grow into a huge garden. You have no idea the effect. Furthermore, then Allah says, this, by the way, the same idea is reiterated at the end of the surah. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِن نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Doesn't he consider that we created him from a mere sperm drop and now he is a clear adversary? Where did you come from so proud of yourself, thinking that you can argue with Allah Ta'ala? That you are, no, what I, what, me, my, you know, my attitude, everything about me, this big, great arrogance. Where does it come from? Do you know where you came from? How tiny you were? How small you were? Just a little while ago? SubhanAllah. Do we think about this? So the same idea, never belittle. Something so small can turn into something much bigger. What's the second sign that Allah Ta'ala mentions? Allah Ta'ala points to more of his signs. وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ وَالْقَمَرَ قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلَ حَتَّى عَادَ كَالْعُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ. Allah Ta'ala says, and the sun runs its course towards its stopping point. That is the determination of Allah the Exalted, Al-Aziz, and the Knowing, Al-Alim. And the moon we have determined for it phases until it returns appearing like the old date stalk. Remarkable ayat. You think to yourself, what's this talking about? If you guys can move forward a little bit, if you guys can make some space, please make a little bit of space. Jazakallah khair. So again, we have ayat of Allah. Allah Ta'ala pointing to the sun and the moon, two of his great creations that should remind us of his greatness and his power. But there's a deeper meaning as well. Connecting back to the main theme, we remember that the Prophet ﷺ has the fullest light. He's like the sun, shining, brightening up the whole world. But Allah says what? وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا. It has an appointed time. It's not going to shine forever. The day is for so long and then it turns to nighttime. The Prophet ﷺ lived in this world as a prophet for 23 years. And then what happened next? وَالْقَمَرَ قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلَ حَتَّى عَادَ كَالْعُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ. And then the moon has phases. Sometimes it's a full moon. Sometimes it's a thin little crescent moon. We as the believers, we are supposed to be reflecting that light. We are supposed to be reflecting the light of the Quran and Sunnah. Just like the moon reflects the sun's light in darkness. So when revelation is not coming down to humanity, we are supposed to be providing that light. And this ummah will go through different phases. There will be times where the ummah is strong, like the full moon shining in the darkness. And there will be other times where it's so thin, barely providing any light. But the fact of the matter is that we are responsible, regardless of the waxing and the waning, the constant ebb and flow, the ups and the downs, strength versus weakness, regardless of the time period you live in, you are responsible to reflect that light. This is what this surah is teaching us. It's pointing to these incredible signs, but it's reminding you of the main theme here, which is what? That you have to go out and teach people, even if they're going to reject you, even if they're going to mock you. You don't know what effect you can have to the person who is hidden. خَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنِ بِالْغَيْبِ. Somebody, you don't know you had an effect. And then Allah Ta'ala says something remarkable. لَشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَن تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرَ وَلَا اللَّيْلُ سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ وَكُلٌ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. It is not allowed or it is not appropriate for the sun to reach the moon, nor does the night overtake the day, but each in an orbit swimming. What is this referring to? Alhamdulillah, the whole reason the sun goes up and down and we can predict the day and night, the timings, months, years, seasons, it's because we live in a universe that alhamdulillah, nothing is crashing and conflicting. Everything is swimming so beautifully and comfortably that provides us with life. This is clearly a sign of Allah Ta'ala, but there's a different meaning here. The Prophet ﷺ, represented by the sun here, he has his own job. He has his responsibility and he did his job. Meanwhile, you, O believers, you're like the moon. You have your own orbits. You have your own circle of influence. Don't say to yourself, oh, he's going to do my job. No, these things don't cross paths. The night doesn't turn into the day or the day into the night. They have their appointed times. You have your responsibilities. The Prophet ﷺ did his job. Don't say, again, going back to the theme that I mentioned a moment ago, don't say, oh, the sheikh is better at da'wah. Oh, leave that to the imam. Leave that to the sheikh. Each of you has your own orbit, your own circle of influence, people that you can have conversations with. Take responsibility. Each of you is responsible in your own right. Yes, you might say, but I'm weaker. That's fine. You're like the moon. You reflect as much as you can. Strong light, weak light, different phases, no problem. Still do your job. SubhanAllah. The imagery here is absolutely astounding. The fact that Allah Ta'ala is comparing you to one of these stellar objects, one of these heavenly bodies shining down upon humanity, is telling you a very important message. Stop belittling yourself. Stop belittling your voice and your impact. And if that wasn't enough, Allah says a third sign. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ أَنَّا حَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ. And a sign for them is that we carried their forefathers in a laden ship. This is a reference to who? Nuh alayhi salam. And here I'm pretty sure the message is very obvious. 950 years of da'wah, working so hard, calling the people. And how many people did he convince? A small handful. So you might say to yourself, insignificant. So few people were affected by Nuh alayhi salam. Isn't that sad? Well, guess what? Those few people repopulated the earth. We are all from their descendants. Like it or not, everybody else is gone. They all got wiped out. So you might think, again, just like the seed is small, it can grow into something great. Don't belittle it. You might call to the masses and they might laugh, but somebody in private, they might pay attention. It might have an effect. Don't neglect your orbit, because your circle of influence is not the same as the other. We're all swimming together. We're not in competition. The three different messengers and this man coming, they weren't trying to compete for converts and trying to come to my classes, not his. They weren't clashing in any way. No, they were all working together in their own circles of influence. And then here, SubhanAllah, don't belittle the amount of people that Nuh alayhi salam convinced and converted. Why? Because SubhanAllah, that's all of humanity right there in that ship. All the entire human race was just in one little spot, saved on that ship, SubhanAllah. So don't belittle it. The next section of this surah talks about what? Judgment day, heaven and hell. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْدَ عُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ مَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً تَأْخُذُهُمْ وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ تَوْصِيَةً وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. They don't wait except for a blast to seize them. Sayha, a cry to seize them while they're disputing. They're still arguing, oh, I think he's funny. No, I agree with that. I disagree with that. They're treating like a joke. And then all of a sudden the blast comes and they're all taken. And they will not be able to give any instruction, nor to their people can they return. SubhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala could have said, I wiped them out through flood. I wiped them out through fire. I wiped them out through lightning and earthquakes. No, Allah said a shout, a scream. Why? Because they were insulting and belittling what messengers and what du'at and what preachers were telling them. Those who were trying to convey the message was being ignored. Allah says, okay, no problem. I'll give you a shout that you can't ignore. It's going to be the trumpet sound. Judgment day. You're all going to die. You're all going to be raised up. And when you get raised up, what are you going to say? I wish I could go back and have fun in my house, in my car, play games, back to my money, back to my pool. Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ تَوْصِيَةً. They won't be able to give advice anymore. You see the main theme? Don't belittle your ability to give advice. Your voice works. Stop ignoring it. Allah Ta'ala says, when they die, that's when they can't give advice anymore. It's over. وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And they can't go back to their family. Or in other words, they can't go back to their circle of influence. Man, I wish I could go back. I had 5 people that would listen to me, 10 people, 100 people that would have listened to me. I was somebody respected in my neighborhood, at work, in my school. I had a voice. And Allah is saying, once I take you away, there's no more ability to give tawsiyah, no advice anymore, and you can't go back to your people. Inshallah, we'll talk about how Allah Ta'ala describes the believers in paradise in the next khutbah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. It's very fascinating how in this section, Surah Yasin, when Allah Ta'ala is talking about resurrection and paradise and hellfire, look at the descriptions that reflect who these people were. When it comes to the disbelievers, Allah says what? قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا. They say, woe to us, who has raised us from our sleeping place? Allah Ta'ala is highlighting that, look, I used to rest in life, now I want to rest now. I was resting. Why'd you wake me up? I wanted to relax. This was their general attitude. They had no sense of priority. They had no sense of, you know, a duty and responsibility. I used to rest and take it easy in life. Why are you waking me up from my resting place? And then furthermore, When Allah Ta'ala describes the believers who had a sense of responsibility to convey the message, they wanted to hustle. Allah says, "Inna ashab al jannat al yawma fi shughlin faqihun." Indeed, the companions of paradise that day will be occupied in their amusement. Shughl. They're going to be having so much fun. And you know when you're playing a sport or you're doing something fun that's really taking lots of energy, but it's so engaging that you're having so much fun. You're so engaged and you're really pushing yourself as strong as you can. Allah Ta'ala is saying they're going to be having the most fun exerting themselves. Why? It's a reflection of dunya. They worked hard in dunya, now they get, it's just, you know, work hard, play hard. Same concept. Meanwhile, the people of hellfire, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُونَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. That day we will seal over their mouths. Going back to the same theme. That these people had the chance to talk. Now on Yawm al-Qiyamah, no. You used to seal your own mouth. You had the ability to convey the truth. You had the ability to tell the truth and be honest. To convey something good. Allah says on Judgment Day, we're going to seal that mouth. And your hands and your legs, they're going to testify to what you used to do. Again, going back to this huge theme, an important theme. SubhanAllah, final few points in the concluding ayat. Near the conclusion, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ لِيُنذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا وَيَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. And we did not teach him, the Prophet ﷺ, poetry, nor is it befitting for him. It is not but a message, a clear Qur'an, to warn the one who is alive. SubhanAllah, going back to that same theme from the beginning. Men, the one who. And to justify the word against the disbelievers. Again, you have this theme of the disbelievers, plural. Many people will reject this Qur'an. However, this reminder, this Qur'an is for the one who, the few who, what? They are alive, their hearts are alive. And it's amazing that Allah Ta'ala is saying this Qur'an and poetry are not the same. Why? Poetry in the Qur'an usually represents entertainment. Throughout the Qur'an, poetry often represents entertainment. While entertainment isn't haram in and of itself, it's also something to be cautious of, like junk food. You can have some of it, you can have a slice of cake, donut, but if you eat too much, it's going to be bad for you. Same thing with entertainment. Too much of it is dangerous. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ says, لا تكثروا الضحك فإن كثرة الضحك تميت القلب. Don't laugh excessively, because too much laughter kills and deadens the heart. And again, Allah Ta'ala is differentiating between the masses and the few. The masses are addicted to entertainment, their hearts are being killed by it, they have dead hearts. However, the few have this hayyan, this living heart. That's just few. And that is who the Qur'an is sent for. So we should never get these two confused. Never think that this Qur'an is like poetry. Never treat this Qur'an like entertainment. They're completely two different categories. The Qur'an is serious, entertainment's not serious. The Qur'an is full-time, entertainment is part-time. The Qur'an is studied and memorized, entertainment is barely remembered. Unfortunately, we have the opposite approach. For most of us, we're very serious. Have you ever seen people argue about which show is better? You know, which sports player is better? Some people get so passionate, it makes me so sick I feel my stomach turning. When people go into in-depth analysis. No, this player, I'm telling you, if you study the stats, and they're so passionate. Bro, this is nothing. This is a joke. This is fluff. Ask them to talk about Surah Yasin for 5 seconds. Yasin are two letters of the Quran, that's all I know. MashaAllah. Mabruk. Mubarak. So, unfortunately, we have this backward attitude, putting entertainment at the forefront. Meanwhile, the Quran is on the back burner. And so, since my time is coming to a close, I just want to remind us that we should take the Quran seriously. In fact, many people, they take Surah Yasin very seriously. They say SubhanAllah during a birth, during a wedding, I don't know, during a funeral, we have to recite Surah Yasin. Some people take this surah very, because there's a hadith, which is weak by the way, but it says that the Quran is the heart of the Quran. So they take this very seriously. I read this often. I read it every day. I love this surah. I memorize this surah. SubhanAllah. How many of those people are completely unaware of its major message? I mean, this is borderline psychotic. It's like, are you a crazy person? I love it so much. I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I just love it so much. You sound like a crazy person. I don't know whether to laugh or to cry. How many of these people who love Surah Yasin? You can ask them, have you ever talked to anybody about Islam? Oh, me, no. Do you have any idea what Surah Yasin is about? Do you see what theme runs through it over and over again? No, I just think it's a great surah. I recite it with weddings and funerals and births and this and that. Let's stop treating the Quran for its pageantry, showing it off. No, let's actually understand it. Let's actually appreciate it. Ya Allah, help us to give da'wah to our circle of influence. Ya Allah, help us to take this Quran seriously. Ya Allah, break our addiction to entertainment and help us to be addicted to guidance. Ya Allah, break our addiction to entertainment and help us to be addicted to guidance. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt, wa afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, wa barik lana fi ma a'tayt, wa qina sharra ma qadayt, fa innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk, innahu la yadhillu man walayt, wa la ya'izzu man adayt, tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayt. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم كثيرا واقم الصلاه.